Oh, good afternoon, everybody. I'm between you and lunch. So as a proud Collingwood supporter, I think I'm particularly brave entering this room. Just last night, we had a Collingwood board meeting and we talked about 90 seconds. So it's still great to be here. And before I start, can I just pay my respects to the traditional custodians of this land? I'm going to try and say this correctly, so forgive me. The Whadjuk Noongar people, to their elders past and present. I'd like to say thank you to Professor Freshwater for her kind remarks, to Paula and all of the CEDA team for inviting me to be with you here today. Just like to acknowledge that we've got lots of Australia Post people here today. So Deirdre Wilmot's on our main board. To the team, thank you. We can't do our jobs without you all. So thank you very much for being here. And I also like to acknowledge, just before I start, a man called Jeff Harding, which many of you in this room will know, worked with me for my years at Telstra, gave me a bit of a hard time, always telling me his target was too hard, but of course smashed it every year. He ran the business division here, and I thought it was fitting to introduce him because he's actually just about to retire after 44 years. And just as someone's closing a chapter, we're talking about the future. So, Jeff, it's great to see you again. Thank you. Oh, my gosh, the future of work. I was asked, why did I want to speak about this one? I guess if I was very honest with you, I don't know if I have a single bigger challenge doing the job at Australia Post than thinking about the future of work. Having been given the privilege to run Australia's oldest organisation, 209 years old, and actually largest extended workforce, almost 100,000 employees when we consider our licensed post offices and our contractors, and I would argue probably the business going through the most disruption and displacement at this moment in time, our workforce is very much at the front of my mind. So I wanted to share with you a little bit of my challenge today and tell you about how we're addressing it and how we're trying to reimagine our workforce. Let's start with some nice things. Australia Post, at the end of last financial year, reported $6.8 billion of revenues. Our profits were $134 million, up 40%. If you strip out one-off items, they were up 280% at almost $70 million. Sounds quite good. We touch 85% of all e-commerce. We deliver 3 billion items this calendar year, and e-commerce is booming, and I'm happy to share with you that actually just this morning we've had confirmation that all the women in the room probably know this very well. It was Black Friday, Cyber Monday. And those volumes were up 57% this year on the previous year. Parcels overall are growing by 10%, so the booming e-commerce, it's great to play a major role in it. We are the only business in Australia, sorry, Jeff, that still touches every home and every business. Our posters are the most trusted people that knock on your front door. They are the most efficient delivery channel we have. And, of course, they drive the highest customer satisfaction. Our workforce has this amazing commitment to the purpose of our organisation. And our post offices, 91% of Australians, well, they said to recently in a survey to Deloitte that they thought it was either extremely important or very important that they remain in the community. There are 1,550 communities across Australia that depend on Australia Post to be able to transact. There is no bank in those communities, and without Australia Post, these people, particularly small businesses, would become under significant threat, and I would challenge you whether they would survive. We processed $130 billion of financial transactions last year. $50 billion through our post offices. That's actually 40% more transaction than Australia's largest bank. Deloitte's valued the social and economic contribution of our business at $6.2 billion, larger than any other organisation in Australia. And for every person that I employ in rural and regional Australia, there are two more jobs created in the economy. It's sounding good, isn't it? Don't you think? Like, it's sounding really, really encouraging to me. So why is this my biggest problem? Well, you know, for every upside, there's a different perspective. Let's start with lettuce. My lettuce business is $2.4 billion. Its volumes have fallen by 30% in the last 3 years alone. We have to deliver to 500,000 more homes in that 3 years. We have had no price increases in that period of time. And as I said, our volumes are down 30%. So that creates an interesting dynamic, particularly when your lettuce have been your most profitable business. And to replace every $1 of letter revenue, I have to get $2 of parcels. So not 10% growth in parcels, but 20% growth in parcels just to stand still. And if we look at our letter business, last year our letter business lost $45 million. So looking out with no big changes happening anytime soon, I am looking down a tsunami of further losses. We have a community service obligation, many of you are very aware of it, to deliver to every home and, of course, to run a post office network. We need to operate 2,500 post offices in rural and regional Australia, 4,000 in total. Our CSO obligations, as we call them, cost us $400 million last year. We receive no compensation for doing this and hope that we are able to balance our growing parcel business to help us pay for it. Our postie network was built to carry letters. The drive for efficiencies some years ago put more of my posties on motorbikes. My single biggest challenge at Australia Post is the safety of my workforce. Last year, we lost 3 posties through accidents and motorbikes, and tens of posties we lost through accidents, actually incurring with other cars. You may not know this, but working at Australia Post is probably the most dangerous organisation in Australia. So, there are 7,000 motorbikes. Now, motorbikes have another problem for me. Not only are they harming my posties, they actually aren't great for the environment, and also they're not great if I want my posties to carry parcels. And so to replace those motorbikes would cost a significant amount of money. Parcels is highly competitive. Yes, it's growing fast, but with it comes significant other challenges. There is huge peaks and troughs, and we have to build our network to support those peaks and troughs. So 57% growth year on year doesn't happen every day, but it's that day when our network is tested that our large e-commerce customers expect our business and our workforce to be able to deliver on time. We received 1 million complaints in 2018. 30% of them were inquiries, but there were 700,000 complaints saying, where is my parcel and when will it arrive? Faced with analysing these complaints, it became very evident to me that I had a big problem on my hands. People wanted to know where tracking. They wanted tracking and they wanted automation. When I mentioned this to the workforce, all they could think about was, you're going to take my job away. So when we have so much of our workforce based in rural and regional Australia, we're very aware that if we introduce automation and we take away jobs, well, just as I said earlier, you know, if we have a job, it creates two. You take one away, you lose two. It would have a massive impact in rural and regional Australia. We are the largest employer outside of metro cities. And I think, you know, it is not just the concerns about job security. I think we all know, don't we, here in Australia, that of course, you know, we're often told, don't worry, 72% of people are now participating in the workforce. It's an incredible figure, isn't it? but it really masks what's hiding behind it. And actually, the number of men participating in the workforce is falling dramatically. Don't know if you've noticed, but to drive a motorbike and to lug massive boxes generally appeals to men, not to women. And 80% of our workforce and our operational teams are men. So when I have so many men falling out of the workforce, manufacturing jobs in this country having fallen by 50% in the last 10 years, I'm thinking, where am I going to get my workforce from? Particularly when we're seeing the growth in the delivery of parcels, when everybody wants my drivers. How do I get these guys to stay with me? And then we look out and we look at the hours that people are working. Well, first of all, we've seen a massive growth in part-time work. So when people want to work part-time, by the way, men want to work part-time. It's really interesting. I've got a statistic I want to share with you. First of all, the number of men working full-time has fallen from 80% to 70%. That's a very significant number. The number of women has grown 50%. You watch out, boys. We're coming. It's taken us 208 years, but we're coming. From 40% to 60%. Massive increase of women in the workforce. And then we think about part-time workers. 31% of all employees now work part-time. Only 25% at Australia Post. So if you think back, just 20 years ago, 95% of men worked full-time. So when you're running a network which is dependent on men, heavily manual jobs, and you're seeing actually the changes in the workforce come from women, you're starting to feel concerned, where am I going to get my workers from? Another big challenge for me is the number of hours that people are working has fallen dramatically. Just 10 years ago, men were working on average 42 hours a week because a lot of men were working overtime. And although their wages have kept up with inflation, they're working less hours because they're actually going for quality of life. They're only working 38 hours. So they're feeling like their actually personal wealth has not grown. Well, if you say to somebody, over 10 years, you are no better off, I think we all saw how Trump actually got to power in the US. I'm going to make America great again. But he was really saying to the blue-collar workers of America, I know that your personal wealth has not grown. So how do you balance all of this? How do you make these people feel connected and more wealthy? Our workforce is aging. 35% of my workforce is due to retire in the next 5 years. And when I look at those people, they're actually my most skilled and experienced people, and they're also males again. And younger employees joining us, well, they don't actually want to have a job for life, thank you very much. They want to have diversity. They don't want manual work either. They'd like to work in services. They'd like managerial jobs. I think the managerial jobs may have something to do with the fact that they've discovered that actually if you're a manager, you're allowed to work from home one day a week. And it's creating huge growth in satisfaction for management and professional jobs. But when you're a postie, I'm really sorry, you have to get on your bike in the morning and you have to go deliver that mail. We've got other challenges too. We've got a significant proportion of our workforce who are immigrants. And they are actually first-time immigrants, and English is not their first language. And so when we come along and say, it's all okay, we're going to retrain you, don't worry, everybody, you can all be customer service operators, that's just not realistic when they fail at the training, literally not because they're not intelligent enough, but because they don't speak the same language as we do. But we want those people to feel included. And what's really, really evident to us, as we look out to the future, if we want to secure a workforce so we can deliver to the people of Australia, then actually we've got to retain and love our men. We've actually got to encourage women in our workforce, and we've got to be far more flexible and start thinking about part-time workers and people working in different types of shifts. Our post offices, well, they're the heart of many communities, as you probably know, and I was just being asked about on ABC Radio. Only challenge is they lost me $138 million last year. And if we look at those, they've had no significant investment in capital or training. So if I just look out for the next year, I know if I'm going to address customer complaints, I have to invest $300 million more into my network to address tracking and capacity. And if I look at my post offices, I need desperately $100 million more to actually invest in security and more IT services. As banks have closed their branches, more work has transferred into our post offices. But equally, we're seeing with younger people, they're no longer having one bank for life. They're actually having multiple banking relationships. And when it comes to their precious lunch hour, they don't want to queue up three times. They'd rather come to their local post office and queue up once. That's great, but when it's a loss-making service, it's a bit of a challenge. So we've actually had to invest in that network quite significantly and train the people inside that network so they have the skills to address in this changing financial services market. You know, this week, we only have to read our newspapers and we can see lots and lots of stories about the Royal Bank Commission. I may be the only person in Australia to say this, but I owe an enormous debt of gratitude to Commonwealth Bank, Westpac and NAB for supporting Australia Post in that investment, because if they hadn't have stepped up and supported us, well, we would have had to close post offices, cut jobs, and I could tell you those communities would have died. So I am forever grateful for their support. So, you know, you could stand back from all of this and think, why on earth did you take the job? You know, you were doing a job you supposedly loved, so why did you do it? And if I just could share with you a few other few facts, we've got some community service obligations, and two of those are not just delivering in the post offices. The one is I have to make a commercial return. Now, 55% off my revenues is fixed costs is labour. 60-something percent of my cost is labour. Add another 20% on for LPOs and contractors. Really, 80% of my costs are actually just people. So faced with that need to invest, otherwise the competitors are going to take my lunch, you know, what do you do? I felt snookered that here I was having to address my workforce. And many a people said to Deirdre and I, you need to cut significant amount of jobs. But surely leadership of a role like Australia Post comes with an element of moral responsibility to protect those jobs, because we know that when we cut those jobs, the impact is so much bigger. If a man loses a job in rural and regional Australia, for every three that lose their job, one is likely never to work again if he is over the age of 50. A man who does not have a job for 1 year is likely to suffer from anxiety and mental health. And I know only too well from my more recent career that actually 68% of all suicides are men. I can tell you with good moral conscience that we are committed to working and looking after the men in our workforce as much as I'm committed to addressing equality. So, you know, I know I've got some big headwinds, but you know what? I'm a glass half full kind of girl. And I believe, just like the Buddhist monk told me, for every problem that I have, I need to close my eyes, it's not insurmountable, and think bigger. Many other organizations in the world are facing the challenges Australia are. What can we learn from our brothers and sisters elsewhere? So I have persuaded our board, you may think a little crazily, to embark on a journey of growth. Because if we are to reimagine our workforce, protect our workforce, to grow jobs, there's only one way to do it, and that's to grow our business. And despite the juggernaut of letters decline happening to me, I've actually got an element of confidence that we can do it. So we've invested that $300 million into our network, and I'm really pleased to say that if we hadn't have invested that money, we couldn't have delivered Black Friday, Cyber Monday. But as we put automation into our business, it hasn't cut our jobs. I believe many of those figures are scaremongering. Actually, it's enabled us to attract women into our workforce because automation is allowing women to come into what were previously very manual jobs. It's also helping us protect our older males because previously they felt they had to retire in their early 60s because the work was so manual. Now they can go onto our mail processing lines and continue to have a career with us. So we want to embrace technology. We don't want to be afraid of it. Other things that we're doing is moving those posties off those motorbikes with all good conscience. I cannot stand before you. So for the first time in over 20 years, we have not ordered a motorbike this year. We've ordered electric bikes. They're good for the environment, they save our lives, and they allow the posties to carry parcels. In fact, in the last 12 months, we've doubled the number of parcels a postie can carry. If I can get the posties carrying parcels, he's got a job for life. Last year, he carried 164 million parcels. And don't forget, 3 years ago, he only carried letters. Our posties are not just the only ones we're investing in. We're investing in the post offices. And not just in financial services. We're rolling out handheld devices. Somewhere in the room, but I'm completely blind. I've heard Donna. Donna, are you in the room? Oh, here she is. Oh, she's a West Coast supporter. She's deliberately wearing the colours. But she's fabulous. Donna runs our post office network here in Western Australia. We are investing in the post offices and rolling out handheld devices. So no longer do our people have to be trapped behind the counters. They can get out front and help our customers. The more times you come in a post office and felt that this is a customer service environment and someone's here really here to help you and not in a big queue, you're going to come in again. And we're determined that, I'm sorry, Donna, we get rid of some of the blow-up beds and frying pans and actually replace them with products that our customers want. We can grow that revenue in our post offices. It's an exciting time. You know, we do 95% of all passports. You can get your police check done at a post office. They're giving me the 2-minute scale here. And you can get many other services. We're going to transform those post offices and those communities. We're going to work with our local government partners, and we're going to create them into community hubs. We're changing how and when we work. We're actually looking at ways that people can choose when they start work and actually more frequently choose when they finish. More part-time workers is helping us introduce more women into our workforce. We're investing significantly into training. And that's really important both for our men and for our women so they can embrace the new roles. One of the other things that we're beginning to do is actually look at our strong domestic footprint. And for those workers, particularly those workers who come from Asian countries in our mail processing lines, we're moving them from those lines actually into supporting growing a booming international business. Just a guy who works just outside my office, a man called Ian Pham. 6 months ago, he was delivering parcels. He's now a financial analyst. He comes from Vietnam, came to Australia in the late 1990s. In Vietnam, he was a qualified accountant. In Australia, he couldn't get a job. He struggled with the languages. He's now our financial analyst for our international business. I've got 1 minute, she's telling me. So, going forward, working on the diversity of our workforce is clearly really important. And I'm extremely proud that as a woman leader, we now have 55% of our workforce as female. Don't worry, guys, we love you too. You know, I think I have given a personal commitment to my entire workforce that Australia Post that we will have to change some jobs, and some jobs will go. But you know what? We're going to bloody come together as one, and we're going to fight to grow this company because we know the importance that jobs have in local communities. Donna, are you with me? Are you with me, Deirdre? You know, you could look at a glass and see it half empty, but that's not how we see it. We've got this fantastic, incredible brand. our people want to be retrained. We've got a connection to purpose like nobody else. And I know with our workforce, with our people, with the love of this brand, yes, we've got challenges, but I know if we pull together at one, we can make Australians proud of Australian Post for many years to come. Thank you.